Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, parents. Looking for something fun to listen to in the car with your kids? Blippi and Mika have a brand new podcast, Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. Each week, the Blippi Mobile will take your kids to amazing places. Your kids will learn awesome new things about the places and things they see and hear. It's a fun, interactive listening experience for the whole family. Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, joined as always by Mike Tagliere, and we're on Twitter at Bobby Fantasy Pro and at Mike Tagliere NFL. Tags, it is draft week, baby.
It is draft week, and I am beyond stoked about that because, like, I just finished up my final mock draft. I posted it on the site today. I cut my lawn today, Bobby. I mean, there's a whole lot of good things happening because obviously that means winter's over in Chicago.
Wait, the snow melted?
Yeah, all the snow is gone. I had to cut my yard, and I actually had time to do so. So I'm pretty psyched about this week, man. It's been a long time coming, and definitely can't wait to get out in Nashville and hopefully mingle with some of our listeners.
I've really been looking forward to this. In fact, we were talking with our guest before the show about, you know, I'd rather go to the NFL draft than the Super Bowl. Now, I'm going to get your take about this, Tags, afterwards, and then we'll talk to Kyle. Our guest is Kyle Yates. He's a writer for the Fantasy Footballers, and he's on Twitter at Kyle Y NFL. Kyle, what do you think about that? NFL draft or Super Bowl?
You know what? I would, 9 times out of 10, I would prefer to go to the NFL draft. The 1 out of 10 is going to be if my team, the Chicago Bears, is playing in it. If the Bears
won't
be
in 1 out of 10 Super Bowls, I'm sorry.
Hey, we're getting close.
Yes.
I think, though, if it's the Bears playing in the Super Bowl, nothing's going to stop me from trying to get there. However, if it's the Patriots for the, you know, sixth or seventh time in a row, you know, I'm good. I don't need to go. I'm good. I'll go to the NFL draft.
All right, guys, we're going to get into draft talk. This is the Draft Primer show, and it's kind of just a free-for-all. It's going to be like three buddies sitting around talking about the NFL draft and kind of telling you guys what to look out for, maybe some props that we like as well. First, though, today's show is sponsored by PristineAuction.com. We've got a giveaway from Pristine Auction. We're giving away a signed Davante Adams helmet with a visor. This bad boy is beautiful. And one of our lucky listeners is going to take this home. If you sign up at fantasypros.com/contest, it takes about 30 seconds to do. Tags, I was surfing Pristine Auction earlier today, as I do almost every single day, just to see if I can get some nice deals. There's always great deals out there. Tags, I don't get this. I saw a signed Saquon Barkley, like a nice jersey, went for $73. That would cost you $100 to buy. You add a Saquon signature and you get this thing for $73? Are you kidding me?
I think it's because people just don't want to wear it then. Because, like, if you're buying it, I guess you can't wear it. But I actually had one of our listeners send me a picture of a Roquan Smith. They actually have, if you don't want to just buy the jersey and you want it framed, they actually sell them like that. And he got a Roquan Smith framed jersey that was signed by him with a few pictures on it too. And I think with shipping and everything, he told me it was like $125. So there's definitely deals to be had on there. Even if you wanted to wear it, if you wanted to, you know, to showcase it to all your friends, you could do that.
Yeah, that's not bad whatsoever. There's some great values on Pristine Auction. And best of all, everything's guaranteed authentic from only the most trusted sources. Again, that's PristineAuction.com. And check out our contest at fantasypros.com/contest. It takes about 30 seconds to enter. All right, let's get on to the NFL draft, and the question on everyone's mind is, what is going to happen with this first overall pick? I'm wondering, are the Cardinals actually going to draft Kyler Murray? Are they going to draft Bosa? Are they going to trade the pick? And if so, who would it be to? Kyle, I'll let you start. What do you think is the most likely scenario at this point?
Well, if you had asked me like 3 days ago, I would have been pretty confident in saying that it would have been Kyler Murray. But
yeah,
in the past few days, we've kind of seen smoke screens. We've kind of seen a lot of other talk going around that it actually might not be a guarantee that it's Kyler Murray, the quarterback out of Oklahoma. And the Cardinals actually might be thinking about going with Quinnen Williams or, a Nick Bosa there. So
you think it would be Williams over Bosa, perhaps?
I think so. Just because with the Cardinals, they have Chandler Jones there on the outside, and they don't really have anyone of note there in the interior. So I would expect Quinnen Williams. And I think looking at the tape and the two prospects, Quinnen Williams just pops off the tape every single time.
They're both incredible. They're so good.
Exactly. They're incredible athletes, in their own rights. But Quinnen Williams has the chance to be a Aaron Donald type, impact player. So I'm still going to go with Kyler Murray at this point, just because there's been so much talk to this point. But it's definitely I'm less confident in it than I was 3 days ago.
Dags, what are you thinking? Because last I talked to you when we did the live draft, and by the way, that's on YouTube now at youtube.com/fantasypros. You can check out the video and see Tags' reaction to me picking Clelin Ferrell with the 4th overall pick. Tags, last I talked to you, you went with Bosa. So you think that the Cardinals are going to, hang on to Josh Rosen? It's sounding more and more likely that that actually happens.
Yeah, this is nuts, Bobby, because the way it works with the final mock draft, I knew it was going to be coming out today, and I wanted to start writing it on Thursday, but I couldn't because I was like, I have to wait and see if there's any trades. I have to wait and find out, who's doing what, if there's any last minute visits, whatever is going on. I wanted to wait. So I spent Saturday and Sunday writing it, and I finally gave in. I said, you know what? It seems like the odds in Vegas, because when I started writing it, they were 500. It was -500 for Murray, which means you'd have to lay $500 to win $100. And Nick Bosa was at +225. And it was like, okay, I think I have to concede here. It's just that everybody's saying that Murray's going there. And, where there's smoke, there's usually fire. So I kind of followed that, and I was like, I'll go with that. Even if it didn't make sense to me, because I've said this in my mock draft article, but I want to say it now on the podcast. What if the Rams had given up on Jared Goff after the Jeff Fisher year that he had? His rookie season with Jeff Fisher, maybe the options in the receiving game obviously weren't as good. Robert Woods wasn't there. Cooper Kupp wasn't there. Brandon Cooks wasn't there. So it's like, all these guys came there and, they got an offensive-minded head coach. So it's like, when do we stop and say, Josh Rosen really never got a fair shake? He had one receiver to throw to. He had a first-time head coach who was defensive-minded, no offensive line. I just feel like the smartest thing for them to do is to take Bosa or Quinnen Williams. Bosa's probably the pick, but this is just frustrating to me because I've gone back and forth, and I've told people, if they don't trade Rosen before the draft, I expect that pick to be Bosa, but these odds are driving me nuts.
Yeah, it's kind of wild, isn't it? Because if you stick Josh Rosen from last year, his draft profile in this class, I think he's the 1-1 without question. He was a really good prospect. Now, it didn't work out. Arizona had absolutely no offensive line. They really had no help at the skill positions. David Johnson had his hands full getting blasted behind the offensive line pretty much every play, it seems. So maybe they've got something with Josh Rosen, just like when Peyton Manning was awful as a rookie. I mean, I guess he had a lot of touchdowns, but all those interceptions, Jared Goff looked lost. So we'll see. I think that Josh Rosen can be fine. Now, here's what I'm thinking. If I'm the Cardinals, I keep Josh Rosen, but I'm not picking Joey Bosa or Quinnen Williams. They're incredible. Don't hear me wrong. But some team is willing to trade up to 1-1 for Kyler Murray, and they will trade a boatload. Would you rather have 3 first-round picks or Nick Bosa?
Yeah, Kyle, what's your take on that? Because, I mean,
give me the picks.
I just don't know who's going to trade up to number one. Like, who's going to pay for Kyler Murray? I don't think that the Giants are willing
to... The Bengals, not the Broncos, probably. I think the Bengals or the Dolphins would do that.
I mean, to go from 11, even the Dolphins at 13, to go from that up to 1 is going to be a king's ransom. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think the Dolphins, where their objective is, all right, we're going to build this from the ground up. They're kind of in that rebuild
mode.
They signed Ryan Fitzpatrick. Okay. That kind of tells us what we need to know, but the Bengals, they don't have the, a surplus of draft capital. I can't see them going from 11 to 1 for Kyler Murray, even though I think he could be a fit in Zach Taylor's offense. So it kind of leaves either the Giants or Oakland with the two first round picks for the New York Giants or the three first round picks for the Oakland Raiders. And I don't know if John Gruden...
I don't even know if that's enough for the Giants to trade for that first overall pick.
Right. 6 and 17. I don't think that's going to be enough for one. Right. So then you're, you know, possibly even throwing in a 2 next year or maybe even a 1. I don't know. But that's just, that's a ton. But if Oakland were to offer those three picks, 4, 24, and 27, yeah, I'm taking 4, 24, and 27 all day long and sticking with Josh Rosen, who I do think is better than Kyler Murray. Now, whether he's a fit for what Cliff Kingsbury wants to do on offense, that's a whole different conversation that we can have. But
yeah,
I'm taking those picks every day of the week.
And real quick, can we talk about this for a second and say Cliff Kingsbury, if people just keep, and people have said that, you know, they've said that, you know, Josh Rosen may not be as good a fit for his offense as Kyler Murray is. If you can't make a quarterback fit to your scheme, what you do as a good head coach or a good offensive coordinator is you build your team around your players' strengths, okay?
Absolutely.
And if Cliff Kingsbury needs a certain quarterback to run his offense, he has a serious problem. It means he can't identify his quarterback's strengths, his weaknesses, and that is going to literally kill him as a head coach. Can the Cardinals really mortgage this again? Because if they miss on Kyler Murray and if he's a bust, then where are they at?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're looking at taking another quarterback next year.
Oh God.
Man, wouldn't that be so funny? All right. Guys, let's move on a little bit. I want to talk about draft trades because every single year in the first round, it's kind of hard to predict and everything like that. You've seen some mock drafts with 2 or 3 draft trades written in, and it's a lot of fun. But the likelihood is 5, 6, 7 of them are going to happen in the first round. So who is it, Kyle, that you see trading back and who do you see trading up?
Oh, man. I did a mock draft last year and I did it the day before the draft. And within the first like 3 picks, it was just done. Like it was toast because I didn't think that Baker was going to go 1. And then, you know, you factor in all those trades for Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, you know, Tremaine Edmonds, even where the Bills came up to get him, all that. So it's so hard to predict that and do a mock draft where you're going to get those kind of, you know, picks right. As far as moving down, I think that the Jets at number 3 are a clear and obvious, you know, candidate to move down because they traded a lot to get up from 6 to 3 last year to get Sam Darnold. So I think they're looking to get down. I've also heard that Tampa Bay might be willing to move out of 5. I think that would be a mistake if you can get a guy like Devin White or Quinnen Williams there. But
I think they want to trade back for Devin Bush because I don't see I love White, but I also love Bush. I don't see too much of a difference. And I think that if they move back to 10, 11, 12, they still might be able to get their linebacker.
I would agree. I really like Devin Bush, too. I don't think there's much of a drop-off there between Devin White and Devin Bush. So if you can move back and pick up some extra
picks. Well, it's kind of risky because the Lions might go linebacker at 8.
The Lions, true. And Broncos, I mean, too.
Yeah, the Broncos, you really just never know what those teams are going to do. And especially if, you know, someone who does move up to 5 takes a quarterback, well, then that pushes some other, you know, candidates down the board. So
you're right.
Yeah, those are as far as in the top 10, those are the obvious ones as far as the Jets or, you know, the Buccaneers there. But if really, we don't know. And it could be anyone could be moving up or moving down the draft board, you know, come Thursday night.
Tags, I think Jacksonville's moving back, man. Everyone's projecting Hawkinson to go there. I don't think Hawkinson's going in the top 15 picks. Otherwise, they're going with an offensive tackle, maybe DK Metcalf, and I know you've mentioned that. I don't think Metcalf goes in the top 10. I don't think any of these offensive tackles belong in the top 10. I think Jacksonville trades back. I'm not sure who would be moving up into that range. Maybe Miami for a quarterback, maybe Washington for a quarterback. Maybe this is what I have in my mock draft right now. Atlanta knows their window to win is right now. If Ed Oliver is still sitting there at 7, I've got them moving up into Jacksonville's pick at number 7. What do you think about that?
I don't know because the difficult thing is I think that the Falcons learned last year that to have depth is really important. You know, they suffered a lot of injuries in the defensive side of the ball and it crushed their season. So I don't know. It's really tough for me to say. You know, Grady Jarrett, they obviously have a lot of money tied up there at the defensive tackle position. It's never a bad thing if you're able to add Ed Oliver, who's maybe a top 5 talent in this draft class. I think I have him ranked as my number 4 overall player. But, you know, we rarely see defensive tackles go inside the top 5. So for me, I dropped Ed Oliver down to number 9 to the Bills in my mock draft. And it's not to say I'd be surprised if he went before that. I really wouldn't. His talent calls for it. But it's like, you know, the position scarcity, how deep is this draft? Teams feeling like, you know, at the top of the draft, they feel like they could probably get a defensive tackle at the start of the second if they miss out on one here. So that's the reason I think Oliver might drop just a little bit. But in
you know, I've
to
heard
traits,
he's a real headache. And I wonder when we hear these types of rumors, like, Kyle, what do you think about this? Do you think that this is just some smokescreen where an NFL team saying, oh, Ed Oliver was horrible in the interviews, we don't like him at all, and then, you know, he drops down to pick number 14 and the Falcons get him or something?
Yeah, I mean, typically that would be the case if we were hearing this so close to the draft, right? Like kind of what we're hearing with Dwayne Haskins, that he's kind of just falling. Well, nothing's changed. No news has come out to indicate that he would be falling. So that I kind of think is a smokescreen where someone's, Washington perhaps, is trying to get him to drop out. But with Ed Oliver, those were kind of things that we heard from the beginning of the season, that there was just a conflict with the coach. I haven't heard anything as far as interviews or, you know, character concerns or anything like that. It's mostly just that conflict with the head coach. And from what I've heard, and I've really kind of spent a lot of time looking into that, because it's very curious for a top five talent to have those kind of concerns where he was, I think he was benched in his last game at Houston. I think it's just the coach had some issue with him that really, I don't think goes super deep, but, and shouldn't be a cause for concern. It's just
there are
that,
a lot of great players who have had conflicts with their head coach, like Jalen Ramsey, the entire Jags defense. In fact, do you think that it's possible a cornerback hungry team who's ready to win now, like the Chiefs, makes a trade? They trade 29 for Jalen Ramsey?
For Jalen Ramsey?
Mm-hmm. If the Jags were willing to trade him for a late first round pick, I think there'd be 31 teams waiting.
I would absolutely agree with that.
I don't think he's re-signing with Jacksonville. I think the price would be low.
Man, for Jalen Ramsey, I would want more than the number 29. Yeah. I mean, he was drafted with what, the number 5, right? Tags, the number 5 mm-hmm. overall.
Yeah, he was
a couple years ago. So, man, to go from 5 to 29, even
well,
though
they already got 3 or 4 good seasons out of him.
Yeah, I mean, he's a phenomenal talent, but for him to go, like, a late first round pick is pennies on the dollar for the type of talent that he is.
Yeah, that's like saying that you trade Jalen Ramsey for like a DeAndre Baker or something like that.
Right, which
yeah,
I would take Jalen Ramsey.
I mean, Khalil Mack did go for an ungodly amount, and so I'm not saying Ramsey's the same type of player, but he is a star, so that probably is a little bit shallow. Guys, let's get back into the trades. Okay, so now we're outside the top 10. Is there anybody in that middle range that you see trading back? Maybe Tennessee, because they don't exactly have any needs. Pittsburgh's kind of the same deal. Baltimore, I could see any of these guys moving back, but especially Tennessee. Tags, what do you think about this one?
I think that one of the teams that should look into trading into this range, if especially if one of the linebackers are there, is the Ravens. The Ravens have to replace C.J. Mosley, and they haven't done it. I don't know what their plan is on defense, but it's not good. Okay, they lost Terrell Suggs, they lost Darius Smith, they lost C.J. Mosley, and they haven't replaced any of them. Like I
don't understand.
Brent Urban's gone too, so it's like
Eric Weddle.
They don't have a second. They don't have a second round pick. And like I'm like trying to figure out like what they're doing, and you know I know they want to be a run first team under Lamar Jackson, but in order to win with that type of game, you have to play defense. And I know that Harbaugh is a fantastic coach. They still have a fantastic secondary after signing Earl Thomas. Their cornerback unit probably the best in football, depth wise. So I think they should trade up. I think they should look to trade up.
How high do they have to go though? Because I see 4 first round linebackers, and I have them all going in the top 12.
I mean, my only top 2 linebackers are Devin Bush and Devin White. And those are the only 2 that I think that they should move up for. And
Josh Allen?
What's that?
Josh Allen? I understand he's an edge rusher, but he's outside linebacker. And, yeah, same with Montez Sweat.
Yeah, and Montez Sweat, that's someone I wanted to talk about in the show because, like, this whole heart condition thing, like, we saw it happen last year. Like, if you guys remember,
he's not going to the draft anymore, which makes me think he might slip out of the first round.
It's possible. Apparently, a few teams have crossed them off their board. And, you know, Maurice Hurst last year, he was considered a first-round pick, and he ended up dropping to the 5th round where the Raiders took him. But Montez Sweat, you know, the team that I have him going to is the Panthers at 16. I think he falls further than expected because I think a lot of people are expecting him to go top 10. But the Panthers did host him on a visit after this whole heart thing came out. They attended his pro day. So I just don't think – I think that they've done their research on him. They definitely need an edge rusher. So – if you find one of those edge rushers like him, like maybe like a Brian Burns, you know, one of those guys falls, I definitely can see Baltimore moving up, trying to, you know, get in that race to try and get one of those guys. Because if they stay at 22, What are they going to do? Like, this is the Ravens are like the biggest question mark for me in the first round, because
I have them moving back to 28 and getting Marquise Brown.
I mean, that would make sense. I would rather have them trade back than take a wide receiver at 22. I don't want them to take a wide receiver in the first round because I think it's going to go to waste.
Yeah, it's a waste. But if you get a dynamic type of wide receiver like Marquise Brown, who doesn't really require a great thrower, I think that's a really good fit for them. But I feel like if they were to take him at 22, that would be too early.
I think DK Metcalf I think he could follow them at 22. And that if they're going to take a wide receiver, he changes the way a defense approaches. That is a defense that you have to approach a team. So I don't know, Kyle, what's your take on the Ravens in general and like Montez Sweat?
Yeah. I was with the Ravens. I mean, they're at 22, but they don't have a second round pick from trading back up last year to get Lamar Jackson. So I think that they would be looking to move down where the strength of this draft, and I think we would all agree on this, the strength of the draft necessarily isn't in the middle of the first round. It's more in second and third rounds. So you can find some really, really solid players in those rounds. So I think that Baltimore would be a candidate to move back, like Bobby said. Montez Sweat, I would, you know, put Montez Sweat and Brian Burns. I would take Brian Burns just because of, I don't think they're too far off as far as prospects and, you know, their potential ceilings. But then you factor in the heart condition that, you know, like you said, Tags, that does have some teams crossing them off draft boards. So I would go Brian Burns if I were to move up. Another team that I was thinking about is Seattle, right there at 21. And they only have 4 total picks in this entire draft. So I think
Seattle's a great one.
I think they have to move back and they have to get some serious draft picks because there are some holes on that roster, especially if they are to move Frank Clark.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they're asking for a first for Frank Clark, and I don't think they're going to get it.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Not in this draft class anyways. But the Seahawks, I mean, Jeffrey Simmons is who I mock to them because I think it's actually a good pick and like it matches what they would do. They've met with him. But trading back from 21, Jeffrey Simmons, some people expect him to fall further because the off-the-field stuff and his ACL.
And some people think he's a top 10 pick. I saw one report where somebody in the front office said they were asked who's the best player in the class. Some people were saying Kyler Murray. Most were saying Quinnen Williams or Nick Bosa. Somebody else said someone that was kind of random. I don't remember who it was. Josh Allen or something like that. Mm-hmm. One person said Jeffrey Simmons. He's the best player in the class.
He's a phenomenal talent. He's a phenomenal talent.
Yeah.
I was going to talk about Jeffrey Simmons and bring this up and see your guys' opinion. I actually wonder about Atlanta at 14 taking Jeffrey Simmons. We saw that decimated last year, but they're a talented defense. If they get healthy,
they have
one hole.
It is the defensive line. And if they're healthy, they're winning the Super Bowl, maybe.
There's someone that can take a chance on him in those teen rounds and kind of wait for him to come back from that ACL tear, I think it's Atlanta.
Yeah, he's basically going to miss the season. I don't think that there's any way that he makes it back for the season as a defensive tackle with that much weight. It's possible, like, if they make a playoff run, he can come, but he's still a rookie. I think Atlanta.
And then he's learning on the job. Yeah,
Atlanta should really
be
looking at edge rusher. Like, Vic Beasley's been a bust. And, like, if Brian Burns falls to them, I think they should run up to the podium and grab him. But I think Brian Burns has actually gotten more expensive than them. And I remember when I mocked, it was like my first mock draft of the year, and I had Brian Burns going to the Falcons at 14, and someone like mocked me for it. And like, he's not even going to go in the first round. Now he's being talked about as a top 10 pick. And, you know, if the Lions, if they were set on someone like Montez Sweat after all these heart conditions, it might scare him off him. You know what I mean? Like, they might move to someone like Brian Burns because the Lions were obviously interested in Anthony Barr in free agency. It seems to me like Brian Burns might not last to the Falcons, but that's who I think they should go with if they stay at 14.
All right. Anyone else in the end of the first round that could trade back? Obviously the Patriots, because that's what they do. And I could see a team like Houston. They've got 2 second round picks trading up to pick number 32 to grab a second offensive lineman. If they can get 2 first-round offensive linemen, maybe Dalton Risner and Chris Lindstrom, if they can get those 2, they fix their biggest problem. And I think that, I don't know if they're the favorite in the AFC South because the Colts are so good, but if they fix that offensive line, this team is really dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Texans have the 23rd pick. They have 2 picks in the second round as well, back-to-back. So they can do damage, and Lindstrom should be there when they pick at 23, I would think. But if not, then one of the top tier offensive tackles will be there. One team I'm curious about, and like Titus Howard. So he's an offensive tackle from Alabama State. And he was someone that I didn't even mock in my first 2 rounds for a while. And there's been so much buzz around this kid. Like, you know, even you see those guys that all of a sudden you see their name popping up everywhere. And like, people are talking Titus Howard. And I've now found out he's had private workouts with 24 of the 32 teams.
Wow.
Holy cow.
So everybody wants this kid. And it's like, I think that that's the name I'm going to put in this show, is someone that I think might go at the end of the first round. I think that he might sneak in there because of all this interest at the very latest second round. But Tytus Howard to the Eagles to be Jason Peters' eventual replacement, it kind of makes sense. I don't have a running back going in the first round, though. Like, do you guys think that Josh Jacobs or any of the running backs are going to go in the first?
I don't have any mocked in the first round, no.
I do. I'll be the one to go out on that limb and say Josh Jacobs goes. And I think he's just too phenomenal of a talent. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge fan of Josh Jacobs and his game. Even though he does have the limited workload in college, I think that it can actually be a benefit in the pros. But what I watch on tape, I wrote a rookie profile on him at over at the Fantasy Footballers, and I compared him to Melvin Gordon. Very similar size, very similar, just an overall well-balanced player who can catch out of the backfield. And so I do think that a team's going to value him like as a first-round pick, and potentially, you know, that could be Oakland at 24, 27. Mm-hmm. I know the Colts have been doing work on him as well, the Eagles. So I definitely think there's interest on him. But I wanted to get your guys' opinion on this too. Ian Rappaport came out a couple days ago and said that Daryl Henderson could actually be a late first round pick. Buying or selling that?
I'm buying that as a possibility. I would not bet on it, but given the odds, I'm not sure I'm looking for the odds right now. Tex, what do you think about this? I think it's definitely possible.
It's a hard sell for me, and I actually quoted that tweet and said that I would actually think it's more likely that he gets drafted in the third round, and that's where I think he goes. I
think that's fair, but yeah, I think first round is in the realm of possibilities.
Well, looking at the teams around the NFL, I mean, let's talk about RB needy teams, like guys that need a workhorse. The Raiders are one.
Philadelphia, Houston, Oakland, that's really Buffalo. Those are the only four.
But Buffalo signed TJ Yeldon today to a two-year deal, so it's like they
but do we really think that TJ Yeldon is their long-term answer?
I don't.
Frank Gore is.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. Buffalo has signed so many players this offseason. Like, it's kind of ridiculous trying to figure out what they're going to do in the draft. But I just don't feel like there's enough, like, workhorse jobs. And Daryl Henderson is kind of like a boom or bust runner. It's not like he's a guy that's going to, you know, I think one guy that's being underrated by the general community is Damian Harris. Damian Harris is like a downhill runner. Like, a lot of coaches do like that. Like, he's going to get what you block for him.
He's going to Oakland in like the third round. But everyone knows he's going to Oakland.
I think that it's very likely that Josh Jacobs does end up with the Raiders. And I actually mocked him to the Raiders at the top of the second round. I think that fit to the Raiders makes tons of sense. But I just think we talk about it being a weak running back class. So it's like in knowing that there's not many workhorse jobs out there for running backs.
Well, there's like five good running backs. And besides, there's no like running back that anyone's going to say is a generational talent, because we just saw Saquon, Leonard Fournette, Ezekiel Elliott, all these guys. And no one's even close to that. But there's five solid guys.
I would bring up the argument with Daryl Henderson, though. Like, who would have said last year that Rashad Penny was going to be first round pick, right?
Right?
Like, we've seen NFL teams do crazier things. So
even Sony Michel wasn't supposed to go in the first round.
Right. I think a lot of people had him as like a mid second round, but when you see, you know, running backs go earlier, it pushes some guys up the draft board. So
you get that extra year in the contract,
yep,
and then you don't have to worry about free agency running backs, because nobody wants to pay that. At least the smart teams don't. So it makes sense for these guys to get right into the end of that first round.
If someone takes Daryl Henderson over someone like Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, I'm going to punch that team. Like, I just feel like there's too many good players on the board on the defensive side of the ball at that point in the draft, where it's like, if someone takes him in the first round, that means you're letting someone very, very talented go. And, you know, and especially like, even if it's like, let's pretend it's like offensive line, right? You know what's crazy? I started going through, and like, we have our free agent tracker on Fantasy Pros, and I was updating it all today, and I saw there was some ridiculously bad offensive linemen getting contracts for like 1 year, $2.5 million, 1 year, $3 million. And then you see running backs like Tevin Coleman getting 2 years, $8 million or whatever it was. And it's like, offensive linemen are so like, there's not enough of them right now in terms of like offensive tackles. Like, teams need them really bad. And there's none available in free agency, so they're paying some really bad ones to come onto their team and provide some depth. Where it's like, if you're going to take a running back like Daryl Henderson over someone like, you know, we've talked about Chris Lindstrom as an offensive guard. If you're going to, like, I mentioned Tytus Howard. I think these guys, Cody Ford, if you take Daryl Henderson over Cody Ford, you're crazy.
I would agree with that.
It's just, there's just so much here. Like, there's other wide receiver talent. Daryl Henderson, to me, is a third round pick. And honestly, I think he has to go to the right offense. And I mocked him to the Chiefs in the third round. So it was actually at the end
of
the third round.
That would be good.
And it would be a perfect fit for fantasy because I think Andy Reid's just a genius when it comes to his running backs. But
that's funny. That's exactly where I wrote him up to. And that's exactly where I put him was the Chiefs. It seems like a perfect fit.
Yeah.
I've got him with the Eagles at 57 and he's plus 1600 to be the first running back drafted. I would assume there's only going to be one running back drafted in the first round. So the odds are 16-1 that he is the first running back taken and that he goes in the first round.
That's nuts. Crazy.
Miles Sanders, by the way, is number two on that list, and he's my favorite. Everyone knows that.
David Montgomery is the best pure runner in this draft.
He's really good, too.
Yeah. But Josh Jacobs, my comp for him was Pierre Thomas. I think people forgot about Pierre Thomas and how good he was.
A lot of people are going to say, Pierre Thomas, that's a bad comp. Pierre Thomas was a good running
back. He was really
guys.
Good. He just was never like, I mean, he could play in a workhorse role every couple games or whatever, but like he was best served in a timeshare. And I think that Josh Jacobs, he might be that player.
All right, guys, we're going to get some more in just a second. But first, I want to remind you all that we've got a draft contest going on. So if you want to see how you compare to Mel Kiper Jr., Tags, and myself, Kyle, I'm sure you're going to get in this contest as well. We're doing a draft accuracy competition. So we're all going to fill out our drafts. You go to fantasypros.com/draft contest and you enter your first round mock draft. Whoever is the closest, we're giving away one lifetime premium Hall of Fame subscription to the guy who wins this, and five others are going to get a 1-year premium upgrade. So make sure to enter that contest. See if you can beat Tags. You're not going to beat me at fantasypros.com/draft contest. All right, Kyle. So here's what I want to do for this next segment. And Tags, I'm sure you've got one. So I'm going to let you go first while Kyle thinks of his. I want you to give me one bold prediction for the first round. Like maybe one player who sneaks into that back end that nobody else is paying attention
to. Yeah, mine would have been Titus Howard, the offensive tackle out of Alabama State. I think.
You did tell us that already. You have to give us a second one.
All right. Let me give you a second one. One player that I think could sneak in that nobody is thinking about. Oh, man. Rakia Sin. I know that he's recently got some buzz about maybe getting into the first round. I think his talent calls for it. I think he would be a phenomenal pick in the first round. Like, I just think that he's a solid cornerback. I don't think you have to worry about him. I think he comes with a high floor. But in terms of other ones, I mean, yeah, I guess the biggest surprise I would have was Titus Howard. And I actually did mock him in there. So I kind of believe it.
I've got Yasin going 50th overall to the Vikings just for some depth. And he takes over when what's-his-name leaves next offseason. Can't even remember him because he's not
Rhodes?
Even... No, not Xavier Rhodes. The other guy. Trey Waynes. When Trey Waynes leaves next offseason, I think that whoever they draft this year will fill in. And they don't really have a ton of needs in Minnesota. Like, obviously, they're going offensive line in the first round. I think they go cornerback in the second.
Yeah, and then they got Holton Hill getting suspended for more off-the-field crap.
Yeah. I mean, they knew that was a possibility.
Fortunately, so they have Mike Hughes that they drafted last year.
Okay, Kyle, who do you think? Who sneaks into the back end of the first round?
Well, you sent me scrambling, and then Tags took my guy there with Rakia Sin. So, you know, I
don't take mine.
Kind of have to scramble again, but I don't know if I fully buy into this player going in the first round necessarily, but I'll phrase it as top 40 just because it's going to be hard to kind of find a place for him. But a tight end, Jay Sternberger out of Texas A&M. Some people have him as kind of that third round prospect. I have also seen other people compare him to Travis Kelce. So it seems like this is kind of a wide range on Jay Sternberger. And I'm a fan of his game. I have him ranked right behind TJ Hawkinson and Noah Fant as far as tight end rankings. So as far as like a bold prediction and a guy who I think would be kind of a surprise, I mean, New England at 32, if they stay put at that pick, I could see them going with a guy like Jay Sternberger over a raw upside kind of guy like Irv Smith or even Dawson Knox out of Ole Miss.
I've got Sternberger going to the Patriots as well. Not at 32. I've got him going at 64 or 56. But you know what? I trashed on Sternberger's blocking, and I don't think he's that polished in blocking right now. Gronk was maybe the best blocking tight end that I've ever seen. So Sternberger has a long way to go to fill in those shoes. But in terms of being pass catching ready for the NFL, he's right up there with all the other guys in this class. And I think the Patriots, a lot of people are saying they're going to take a tight end at 32. And maybe they do take Sternberger, but I don't think they will probably need to. I think they'll wait until one of their late second round picks and grab this guy when everyone's thinking, oh, Irv Smith's still on the board at 32. He's going to the Patriots. And then the Patriots trade back.
Yeah, you definitely have to know what you're getting in Sternberger, that he's not that blocking tight end. He's more of that move, that flex dot wide, and is a receiving threat. However, I
nobody is going to be Gronk. Yeah,
right. Exactly. And I think that they have the Patriots have 12 picks in this draft, which is insane when you think about it. So I think that they could go with Jay Sternberger. They're early, whatever, you know, if they move back, then take him. But then follow up with Foster Moreau out of LSU, who is a really good blocking tight end, and grab him in the third or fourth round to complement. So it's a definite possibility.
Tags, what do you think? Any chance Sternberger falls in the top 40?
I have him number 50 to the Vikings. I like Sternberger. His hands are phenomenal. Like, he's a possession style tight end. He led the team in receptions, yards, touchdowns. And it was only 1 year, and that's the reason I don't think he gets into the first round. But I think
could he be a Colston that just turns into a wide receiver? Because Colston was a tight end in college.
No, right. I remember being able to play him in Yahoo leagues. That was not great. Those were good times. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think Sternberger is fine. I wrote him up just recently, and my player comp for him, I came down to Jack Doyle. I just think that he's a very reliable pass catcher. He might be better in terms of as a receiver. Doyle might be better as a blocker. They both struggle at times in blocking. Some people actually like Sternberger as a blocker. I didn't think he was that good. I don't know. I don't know how to value Jay Sternberger, because I feel like he's someone that can offer. I don't think teams want to run their offense through their tight end, but I think that if you want a pass catching tight end, like someone who's very sure handed, Sternberger's that guy. And if like you put him behind Kyle Rudolph for a year, I think Sternberger can turn into that guy, you know, in 2020.
You know, the kinds of guys that I'm looking for when I'm looking for someone who's going to go a lot higher than everyone expects are, you know, these wide range of outcome type of prospects. People like Darnell Savage, people have going sometimes in the third round, late second round. Some people have him as the next Bob Sanders I saw right up on Pro Football Focus, right? And I love Darnell Savage. And I'm wondering if one of these teams who's just, you know, they're themselves. They get their guys like the Rams. I'm wondering if they just say, we believe in Darnell Savage. Some have a third round tag on him. We're going to get him before anybody else does. The Steelers do stuff like this every single year where it's like they drafted who and then he turns out good because they get their guys. I'm wondering if Savage can sneak into the top 32 picks. I've got him as my top safety on the board. I don't have him going as my first safety in the draft, but I do think that some team may. And if they do, it would be a big surprise, but he's going to be a good one.
I do like Darnell Savage. I mean, and I think actually that's a pretty good call. I think that he's someone that could surprise and wind up in the first round.
I do think I'll agree. I really like Savage as a prospect, and I think he's going to have a really good career in the NFL. However, it's hard for me to see him beating out guys like you mentioned before, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, mm-hmm. or
like
Jonathan Abram.
Very good safeties,
right?
In this class.
Jonathan Abram. I mean, Taylor Rapp, even before he ran his 4.7 40 at his pro day, like those were guys that you know were really were mocked very heavily in that later first round. So it's going to be hard for me to personally see Savage getting in there over some of those other guys. But we saw last year with Terrell Edmonds and the Steelers taking, you know, that safety there at the back of the first round. Mm-hmm.
And you didn't even mention Nasir Adderley or Deontay Thompson, who a lot of people have as the number one and two safeties in this class. Everybody has a different opinion about these top six safeties, but I think everyone agrees there's six really good safeties in here.
Yeah. Taylor Rapp was one of those guys that was considered as a potential first round pick, and he dropped down boards a little bit due to his bad 40 time. It was like in the 4.7s. There's definitely a bunch of guys up there that can be talked about. One question I had for you guys. So let's pretend for a second that Kyler Murray does go number one. You're the Cardinals at the top of the second round. What do you do there? Like, do you say, okay, now that we spent, you know, obviously more equity on the offense, we need to move to the defensive side of the ball? Or do you say we need to get Kyler Murray a receiver? Like,
I've got him a tight end.
Who do you have going there?
Noah Fant at 33.
That's surprising if he lasts.
I mean, if he fell, and I don't imagine he falls, but if he does fall to 33, I think the Cardinals pull the trigger.
I think they have to go offensive line. That's still just such an area of concern, and it's going to be there's going to be some really, really good prospects still there on the board at 33 or whatever they're at. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that's where I would go personally is offensive line.
Tags, you're the Cardinals. You've got Cody Ford and Hakeem Butler still available to you. Which one are you taking?
I'll take Ford. I'm actually high on Ford. I think that he's like a versatile offensive lineman. He's one of those guys where I just feel like you know exactly what you're getting with him. Like he has a very workmanlike approach. And obviously, you know, he's had time with Kyler Murray protecting him. Yeah. But I would go with Cody Ford. Now, if you're talking about someone like Dalton Risner, that's when it becomes a question for me.
Ooh, man, I love Dalton Risner.
I don't love Risner, and like he's like a right tackle by design, and Marcus Gilbert, they just got him from Pittsburgh, so I don't think that they necessarily would go there, so I'd probably go Hakeem Butler in that situation. I just think that you're setting your quarterback up to fail if you don't surround him with someone, and I know that Christian Kirk, you know, looked solid last year, but eventually when Larry Fitzgerald retires, which is probably after this year, he's going to move into the slot. That's what Christian Kirk is designed to do. Like, he's going to be a Golden Tate type receiver. Golden Tate didn't always play in the slot to start his career either, so they need a perimeter option.
But tags. They have Kevin White.
You're right.
I totally forgot. Like, scratch that off, Bobby. They have a first round receiver.
I don't know if Kevin White can knock off their starter Trent Sherfield. He's in the starting rotation right now.
I don't even know who that is.
They need to draft somebody bad.
Yeah, no, he got a chance to play a little bit last year, and let's just be honest. That's why I'm telling you, Josh Rosen never had a fair shot to succeed. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And if they want to stretch the field a little bit, they need someone to do it. And Hakeem Butler's that guy. I do like Hakeem Butler. I think that he's a solid prospect. And if he gets in the right offense, someone that knows how to use, you know, to play him to his strengths. One of the best ball trackers I've seen coming out of college.
And here's the thing. Even if they draft Cody Ford, they're going to have a nice pick in the third round where they can get a quality wide receiver. There's 15 good receivers, 12 good receivers in this class. They're going to get one of them at the top of the third round. Someone's going
to for sure. I mean, Kelvin Harmon might fall to the third. Yeah. You have Arcega Whiteside might fall to the third. I think one of my favorite players, and I like, this is me going on a limb, I guess. But Emmanuel Hall, if he were to go, I mocked him.
See, I think he kind of made him and that tight end they've got there in Missouri. I think they make Drew Locke look a lot better than he is. He had a lot.
Albert
of
O is so good. I can't wait till he comes out. Like, I wanted him to come out this year, and like I was going to rank
Tags
him.
Tags is in love with this
100%.
Guy.
100%. I can't say his last name, but I love him. Albert O, you have my heart. And I would have probably ranked him as my top tight end. Like, I
Tags is sitting there watching film. He's like, who is this guy? Oh, wait, he's not in this draft.
Yeah, it sucked. But Emmanuel Hall, I mocked him to the Saints. I think Emmanuel Hall is like a Mike Wallace reincarnated. And like, I just, I think that Sean Payton would know exactly what to do with that guy. I would love to see Emmanuel Hall go to the Saints. Like, that's just my wish list for fantasy football.
Kyle, you were going to say something before I cut you off. I'm sorry, man. What were you going to say?
No, that I was just going to say with J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, if he's there in the third round, which I think is a mistake, I would, and I'm Arizona, I would take him in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And to prove your point, I mean, with those wide receivers there in the third round, especially at the top of the third round, there's going to be some really, really good names still available. I mean, like you mentioned, Tags, Emmanuel Hall, who fits that outside receiver, which they need. They don't need another slot receiver. You know, guys like Terry McLaurin, who I'm really high on. I really like his game. I think Mecole Hardman is projected to go out of Georgia, is projected to go into the slot, but I could see him staying outside and kind of functioning as like a Taylor Gabriel kind of role. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, you would think that Gabriel, based on his size, plays inside, but no, he's out on the exterior there. So yeah, there's some real value there. So I think that if you go with a guy there at 33, I would address offensive line and then come back, with wide receiver. But again, this all changes based on who was picked earlier.
I think McLaurin could be like a Santonio Holmes type of guy. He's my sleeper to be the top wide receiver in this draft class. I'm not saying he has the most upside, but there's a lot of question marks about N'Keal Harry, DK Metcalf, not so much about AJ Brown, but I do think that McLaurin does have more upside than AJ Brown. He's going to be available in the third, maybe even the fourth round. So the Cardinals will have some options. Now, let me ask you guys this. If they go with Kyler Murray, obviously that means Josh Rosen is being traded. Who's trading for him?
The Giants.
And what are they going to get?
That's the problem. Is like I believe that the Giants should trade for Josh Rosen.
I mean, yes. I think his value is a top 15 pick. There's been rumors that some teams are thinking he's worth a third round pick. If that happens, that is absolutely nuts.
There's two sides of it. There's who should. Or who should trade for Josh Rosen and who will.
Yeah.
And I think who should is the New York Giants or the New England Patriots. But who will? I can see Washington giving up that 15th overall pick because they desperately need a quarterback.
Yeah.
Not named Case Keenum.
Maybe Oakland trades 27 for him. That's what I've got in my mock right now. And then Arizona takes, I've got them taking Kyler Murray, N'Keal Harry, and then Noah Fant at 33. That would be a killer start for the Cardinals.
So here's a question for you guys. The Patriots, let's pretend that they don't take a quarterback, okay? That they don't take a quarterback at all in this draft. And
well, we know they're taking Clayton Thorson tags. I already decided that for everyone.
I actually mocked. I put him in my mock just for you. I put him in the third round.
Thank you.
But no, if they don't take one, can we just say this? Can we say that the Patriots are going to basically they're going to go out. They're all out and they're going to try and win a Super Bowl. And when Tom Brady retires, just understand that they're going to suck for a couple of years. Like they're just not going to be very good. Is that what they're going to do? Or are they going to groom? Because I think the Patriots are smart enough to where if Josh Rosen was available for a third round pick, they'd be like, okay, here you go. Like, that's just something the Patriots would do. Like, if it was a second round pick, it'd be like, okay, here you go. We got two of them. I can't believe that he would cost just a third round pick. I know that those were the reported rumors, yeah. And that's what some people have asked me. Like, there's no way he's a third round. I'm like, I'm just telling you what I've heard. I don't know.
You know exactly what's going to happen is they're going to, Tom Brady's going to retire and they're going to be like, well, our new quarterback is AJ McCarron or somebody like that. And then they win 12 games and everyone's going to realize that Aaron Rodgers is a lot better than Tom.
They're going to get Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's on his like 20th team.
Yes.
Can I give one player that I think that might go earlier than I initially
go
thought?
Go for it, man. Yeah.
Jalen Hurd out of Baylor. He's a wide receiver. Well, he's a former running back that transferred schools right before his senior year. People looked at that very controversially. He switched positions, went to wide receiver. Did really well at Baylor. He's 6'4", 225 pounds. He's a freak athlete. He was in on 7 different private visits. The 49ers, the Bucks, they're another team that makes sense for him or Emmanuel Hall to take that DeSean Jackson, like basically that field stretcher. You know, Bruce Arians has always had that, whether it was, you know, John Brown, J.J. Nelson. I think they need that outside wide receiver. The Cowboys brought him, Jalen Hurd in, the Eagles, the Jets, the Patriots, and the Vikings. So he's met with a lot of teams, and like he was someone that people thought might fall the 6th or 7th round. He might go into like the 3rd round.
I think taking him in the 3rd round might be a little bit too high and might be a mistake. I could be proved wrong yeah. in a couple of years, but he's the epitome of that, you know, moldable player. And we saw him transition from running back to wide receiver and do really well as far as improving his technique, being able to run those routes crisply. You know, you watch his tape from the beginning of the year versus the end of the year, and you saw a drastic improvement. So I think that's going to be one of those players based on his size that a lot of teams, a lot of offenses are going to be dying to get him into their wide receiver room, but could be the player that a coach takes and molds, and he turns out to be really, really good.
Could he be the player that Cordarrelle Patterson was supposed to be?
That's an interesting question, an interesting comparison.
I just don't know if the NFL was ready for Cordarrelle Patterson. Like, I don't think offenses ran the way that they do today. And I think that, you know, teams can benefit from someone like that who could be versatile and run the football at 6'4 and 225 pounds.
I would agree with that. That's kind of the classification for Patterson as a weapon. And there are offenses now that use him, that he doesn't really have a position, but you just get the ball in his hands. And I think another guy like that is Paris Campbell, where I don't see Paris Campbell as a true definition wide receiver. Now, do I think he can get there? Sure. But he's one of those guys where you just get him the ball. You get him the ball in your offense, and he's from wherever, whether it's, in the backfield or, split out wide, and he's going to do great things for your offense. So, yeah, I can see Hurd being that kind of Cordarrelle Patterson, what he could have been if he was in the, in the league earlier.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought up Paris Campbell, because I've got him going to the Jags at number 38. They need a weapon bad, and that's exactly what Campbell is. He's a weapon. There's been a lot of buzz that he's going to go a lot higher than everyone initially projected. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to throw another name in here. Tags, I've mentioned him before, former wide receiver, still learning the position at cornerback. Justin Lane is an extraordinary talent, rare combination of elite speed and length. The only corners who have matched this combo of elite length and speed are Jalen Ramsey, Xavier Rhodes, Antonio Cromartie, all Pro Bowlers. Justin Lane, I could see sneaking into the back end of the first round, too.
I can't remember who it was, but I wanted to tell you about that because I think you mentioned Lane before. And I can't remember who. I read something and someone was also saying that he could go in the first round. I think that's crazy, but I also think it's crazy to think.
It was probably me. I've said it so many times. You probably think you've heard it from
it
a bunch of other
people.
It might
have been you. But Justin Lane he's definitely gathered some steam around the draft.
So much upside.
I think he's like a second or third round pick. But if he sneaks into the first, would it surprise me? Probably. I mean, we always think that we can. And that's the thing is, if you can predict 28 of 32 players in the first round, you legitimately would tie the most any analyst. I think we had 140 some analysts last year who did the mock draft with us. 28 was the absolute highest that anybody got of the prospects that you can guess in the first round. So there's going to be four prospects that nobody, like legit nobody, is going to guess. So is it crazy to think that, you know, Justin Lane gets in there? No, it's not crazy at all, especially when
I'm going to guess him.
He's a second or third round pick.
Actually, I'm not going to guess him because I have to beat tags again. And so I need to be, and take notice, I said again, because last year I beat him. I got 26 out of those 32 and I was ahead of tags. And if I win this year, tags, what are you going to have to do to your mustache?
Our bet, if you guys missed that on our other show, is that the loser of the mock draft competition is going to have to grow out their mustache for a little bit, because like I have scruff all the time, but I'll grow it out if I lose, and Bobby will do the same, and we have to dye our mustache Antonio Brown blonde.
Oh no.
it's like for a day we have to like go to the store with it. It's going to be a fantastic time for Bobby. I can't wait to see this. I'm sure we're going to put it up.
It's going to be so much fun watching you do it. I'm going to have a fantastic time watching you do it.
In case I needed extra motivation to do well in this competition.
Yeah. All right, guys, I've got some prop bets for you. Okay. Right. First wide receiver drafted right now. We've got DK Metcalf as the pretty heavy favorite, -165. What I want to ask you is, if it's not DK Metcalf, who do you guys have as the first wide receiver drafted?
I'll go Marquise Brown, even with the injury history. I really, really love him as a prospect, and
people are really high on him in NFL offices. Yeah.
Yeah. I love his game. And so I think that he could be, even some teams could look at that, him coming off that Liz Frank injury and just say, you know, we're good with it. You know, we're good with where he's at in his, you know, comeback and recovery, and we'll take him. I don't think it's going to be with a high first round pick, but I think, you know, in those later picks, I could see Marquise Brown being the first one taken.
Yeah, Marquise Brown to the Colts. What do you think about that, Tex?
I think Marquise Brown makes sense, and I think that's very possible. But I also think if it was me, I'd be drafting A.J. Brown ahead of him. So A.J. Brown, I guess, I mean, what are the odds? Like, do you get better odds with Marquise Brown or better odds with A.J. Brown?
A.J. Brown. I think so, at least. So how high do you think Brown could go? 12 with the Packers?
No, I've changed my mind on that. Like, should he? I think that he should get consideration there for sure.
Well, I've got Clelin and Ferrell falling and the Packers grabbing him. So I know you would take Ferrell over Brown.
I would take Ferrell. I like Ferrell. Yeah. But AJ Brown, I have going at 26 to the Colts. I think AJ Brown is perfect for that offense because they have T.Y. Hilton to stretch the field. He's
perfect for every T.Y. Hilton offense. AJ Brown is.
Yeah, he moves in and out of the slot. They have Devin Funchess as the big red zone guy. And AJ Brown is very versatile. He's pro ready. They're a team that, you know, is competing right now for a Super Bowl. So I just feel like AJ Brown to the Colts to fill that slot role, like, you know, mostly slot, you know, and move back and forth with T.Y. Hilton. I just feel like it's a perfect landing spot for him.
Yeah, Hakeem Butler right now is number two in this prop, +500. Marquise Brown, +550. A.J. Brown, +600. I'd take N'Keal Harry at +1100. I think there's a chance he goes number one overall. He's every bit
number
as
one
athletic
overall?
As DK.
As the first receiver. I was like, what?
As the first receiver. Yes, as the first receiver. You know, he's very much in the same realm of athleticism as DK Metcalf. He is a lot quicker than DK Metcalf as well. Now, he's not faster, he's not bigger and stronger, but he's right up there with Metcalf. And I think that he's a little bit more polished as well. I wouldn't be surprised if a team like the Ravens takes him and just assumes, hey, he's more likely to help us than DK Metcalf, who's more of a project.
I have
well,
never
that's the
been...
thing with
yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, Tex. Kyle, I'm gonna let you go right after this because I need to hear what you're gonna say. I have never, ever, ever been further from the consensus on a wide receiver. I don't like N'Keal Harry. I don't like him. Like,
I'm going to have to fight
like,
you. Now.
I'm not saying
we're going to Nashville. We're going to fight.
I don't think
on
he's
stage.
A terrible receiver. He is not a number one. If you draft him to be your number one receiver, you're going to have some real problems. Like real
Wrong.
Problems. So
false.
And the thing is, I usually understand where people are coming with wide receivers. If you can't separate at the college level at Arizona State, you're not going to separate in the NFL.
Oh, you mean like DK Metcalf?
Metcalf can separate.
Yeah, questionable.
Metcalf can separate. It's a question of him turning back towards the ball, but that's a separate conversation. Yeah. Anyway, what I was about to say was, I think the thing with this wide receiver class is it's so hard to come to an agreement on where, you know, who's going to go first. Like in previous years, it was pretty easy to say, okay, you know, this player X is going to be the first one taken, and he'll be taken around here. But with this wide receiver class, it is so dependent upon what you need from wide receiver. Do you need a slot guy? Do you need, you know, a big red zone threat? Do you need, you know, that guy who's going to be able to stretch the field? What do you need as a NFL team? And that's going to dictate who you're going to take, whether you, you know, whether you like Marquise Brown over AJ Brown or whatever that looks like. It's so difficult.
All right, guys, next prop. How many quarterbacks are going to be drafted in the first round? Over 3.5 is minus 200. Under 3.5 is plus 160. So I guess the question is, do you think that Drew Lock and Daniel Jones both go in the first round? Tags, what do you say?
I have four quarterbacks going in the first round, so I'm definitely saying over.
Me too. And I think it's stupid, but I do have it.
I'll go with the over as well. And it's not necessarily a question of whether they should, but I think we're going to see more and more of these rookie quarterbacks, whether they have round three grades on them, taken in the first round for a couple of reasons, that rookie contract, because you can build a team. We're seeing it across the league. We're seeing teams build really, really nice rosters around a cheap rookie quarterback and that fifth year option, that you can get that guy on a cheap deal. You have some innovative play calling. You stick a guy with, you know, Sean McVay, with potentially a Zach Taylor in Cincinnati. We'll see. But
yeah,
you put him with that and your offense can be okay and good enough to win. And then you can build up your defense or the surrounding weapons with that other cap. So I think in future years, we're going to see more quarterbacks go in the first round than necessarily should.
So, Tags, where do you have all four of these quarterbacks landing in your final mock draft?
I have Kyler going at number one, even though I want to change it. At number 10, I have the Broncos taking Drew Lock as the number two quarterback on the board. I have the Giants taking Daniel Jones, Redskins with Dwayne Haskins.
You've got Haskins as the number four quarterback.
I don't, personally, but do I think he goes there? I think there's something to this whole him falling thing. Like, you know, him, the lack of, like, with only 1 year of experience, you know, whereas Daniel Jones and Drew Lock are considered more, you know, they have more experience. And, you know, John Elway, we know how he goes. And the Giants, mm-hmm. we've heard that Daniel Jones is potentially the number one quarterback on their board. So Dwayne Haskins is the number one quarterback on my board. That doesn't mean
number one over Murray.
Oh, I would take him over Kyler Murray. Yes, I don't.
Okay.
Kyler Murray has some real concerns for me. I understand why teams want to take him in the first. I understand you're trying to hit a home run. I get all that. But at number one overall, you'd better be taking a home run, like a guy that's a can't miss player. And I don't think Kyler Murray's that player. And I think that the Cardinals know that too, because they would have had their minds set on who they were drafting already. And they would have traded Josh Rosen if they really knew Kyler Murray was the answer and that he could do everything that they want him to do. I just feel like he's not a can't-miss prospect, and I feel like there are question marks, and that's why I think that they should go with Bosa, or even if they wanted to go with Quinnen Williams, even though it's a defensive tackle, I feel like he's a can't-miss player. I feel like Nick Bosa's a can't-miss player. You can't say the same thing about Kyler Murray or Dwayne Haskins.
I've got Zach Taylor of the Cincinnati Bengals trading up to 5 to get Dwayne Haskins just before the New York Giants have a chance. After that, I've got Drew Lock going to 10, just like you, and I've got Daniel Jones going 17 to the Giants.
Nice.
What do you have, Kyle?
It's pretty much similar to that as far as the landing spot. I haven't done my mock draft yet, so as far as like the specific places that these guys are going to land, but I definitely see those four being the ones that go. It's super interesting. I was going to bring this up. Drew Lock visited the Packers
mm-hmm.
a couple weeks ago, and the Packers have apparently been doing a lot of work on quarterbacks. What do you think about that?
Smoke.
I mean, Drew Lock needs to be... He needs to sit behind someone for 2 or 3 years. And that's how Aaron Rodgers got really good, right? I mean, he was good to begin with, but he sat behind Brett Favre for 3 years. And look what we got.
Yeah.
And Aaron Rodgers was drafted when Brett Favre was 35 and Aaron Rodgers is 36 now.
So wow. Yeah.
It's interesting to say the least. Do I think it's going to happen? No. But I think it's very interesting to burn. You only get 30 visits to come in to your facility, and to have Drew Lock come in and burn one of those is interesting.
Well, to be fair, yeah, I just want to be totally fair here. So I think that the Packers are doing their homework in case one of those guys falls down to them at 30 and they have to make that decision, because they did Drew Lock and Daniel Jones. They did not bring in Kyler Murray or Dwayne Haskins, which kind of tells me they're looking at guys that are expected to be like the 3 and 4 quarterbacks. And I think that it's possible that one of those guys is available at 30. And it was like, maybe we should just do our homework there.
Man, how mad would that make Aaron Rodgers if they draft a quarterback in the first round?
I don't think he's worried. He's like, yeah, come take my job.
I mean, he's not worried he's going to lose his job, but he's like, I want weapons. Give me A.J. Brown. You're drafting a quarterback?
Yeah, that would just signify that they're, you know, invested in building for the future rather than going in for it all, you know, all now.
For sure.
All right, guys. Number of wide receivers selected in the first round, over or under 2.5?
I'm going under.
I will go over. I have 3 going there. I just think, even though
I've got four,
defensive side of the ball is so special, like the defense, it's clearly a defensive class. Like, this is a much better defensive class than it is offense. But wide receivers,
there's
do
a
matter.
Bunch of offensive tackles too that are going to go in the first round.
Yeah, and wide receivers do matter though. So I will say over.
Yeah, I've got 4 of them. There's always a bunch of wide receivers drafted in the first class, and I get it. Most of them are second rounders, but some teams are going to make sure they get their guy. I've got A.J. Brown, Marquise Brown, and DK Metcalf as locks, and I've got N'Keal Harry slipping into the first round as well as my 4th.
I think Hakeem Butler would be my 4th receiver off the board.
All right, when is the first wide receiver going to be drafted? And this one really surprises me. Over or under 19.5? I thought it would be higher than that.
Higher as in, like, closer to number 1, or?
Yeah, closer to number 1. I've got my first wide receiver at 19, but I would have assumed most people have DK Metcalf going in the top 12 picks.
I have Metcalf at 22 as the first receiver off the board to the Ravens.
Okay.
I think the Steelers are a team that could take a wide receiver, but they're at 20. So I'll say over. I think it's going to be after 19.
Yeah, I'll go after 19 as well, just because I think that teams are going to fall in love with the trenches of this draft, if you will, the offensive line and defensive line, and grab those guys here. And then come back. We already talked about it, but the depth of that class, the wide receiver class, you can come back and get, you know, a talented player in the second or third round. So I think that they'll fall. Whether they should or not is a different conversation.
Yeah. All right, guys. And last player prop. This one is interesting to me because there are so many different ideas about the defensive backs in this class. Who was the first defensive back to be drafted in the 2019 NFL draft?
It's still greedy, right?
I was about to say, I think it's Greedy Williams.
He's the favorite, but I could definitely see Byron Murphy, maybe even DeAndre Baker going ahead of him, one of these 6 safeties. I think Greedy's the favorite, and that's who I've got going first, but I've got him at 15 to Washington. Where do you guys have him going?
I have Greedy at number 24 to the Raiders. I did have Greedy going earlier, but the more I hear about it, the more it's like, okay, maybe he's not going to go as early as I thought he would, because he's not compared. He's not on the level of Denzel Ward. There are some question marks about Greedy Williams. Byron Murphy, I like a lot, but he's not necessarily like that man coverage guy, like the shutdown follow a receiver around. So I don't think that he's a first round talent. I like Byron Murphy. He's my top corner, but he's more of a zone guy. DeAndre Baker. He's an interesting one. He's someone that reportedly could go earlier than I'm expecting, but he's a first round guy. So is it possible if DeAndre Baker goes before or Byron Murphy goes before Greedy Williams? I guess I it's possible.
It would surprise me.
Yeah, it would surprise me, though.
I mean, there's a lot of guys in this conversation. We've gone through Greedy Williams, DeAndre Baker, Byron Murphy. I actually think Byron Murphy's going to fall out of the first round with that 40 time that he had. It was around 4.55, which running for a corner is going to push you out of the first round, I think. But then you add in these guys that are kind of those fringe guys of Lonnie Johnson out of Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Could be a guy that comes up. We talked about Rocky Sin out of Temple. He could be a guy that comes up. Or you have Justin Lane out of Michigan State that we've talked about that could come into that kind of fringe. So would any of those guys surprise me if they were the first one? And no, not really. It all depends on what you're needing. Again, they fit a bunch of different schemes and they're not all the same. So it all depends on if a guy falls in love with that prospect, and he could go early.
If I'm betting here, I would go with Nasir Adderley at plus 850. Now, I don't think he's the best safety on the board. In fact, I've got him as my number 4 safety. Tags, I don't know where you have him, but every single mock draft I've seen has this guy going in the first round. That's not the case with any other safety. I've seen him as high as number 10. And I don't think Greedy Williams is any kind of lock to go in the top 10. So I think it's possible if it's a safety, I think it's going to be Adderley.
Yeah, Adderley is very versatile, in terms of what he can do for you, as a player. The reason I don't see him being the first one off the board though, is playing out of Delaware. You're not going to get attention there. Like, you have to worry about the competition, the changing competition when you come up in levels. So, that's the reason I would say Adderley probably won't be in that conversation. Abram is probably the first safety, even though I don't agree with it.
All right, guys, we're going to leave the show by stamping our name on one player. Tags, you get to go first. Who do you absolutely love from this draft class in the first round?
I mean, it would be pretty easy for me to say Quinnen Williams. Like, when we talk about players that are can't-miss players, like, that's... I mean, if you wanted me to name one player per position, I could do that, too, but that would take a while. Sure. But
yeah, give me a name that everyone doesn't consider to be a lock. Like, who's your guy?
Yeah, like I said, I mean, I think Devin Bush is a phenomenal football player.
Tags, stop taking my guys.
I've been continually mocking him in the top 12 because I don't see any reason that he should fall outside the top 12, especially when you consider the drop off after Devin White and Devin Bush. It's just so, you know, I actually think Devin Bush might be a safer player than Devin White. I don't think there's a big talent gap between the two, but Devin Bush is just so consistent. He's a leader. He is a little short, but I fell in love with him when I watched his film. And Clelin Ferrell is another one I'll put on there. Is just someone that,
yeah,
I feel like he's undervalued in this draft class, but it might not be by actual NFL teams though. Like, Clelin Ferrell might go earlier than a lot of people think.
I figured that's who you were going to say was Ferrell.
Yeah, I love Ferrell too, but
we got a lot of crap for mocking Ferrell at number four, but these kind of things happen, guys. Sure. Teams fall in love with a player and he's got tons of upside. Okay, Kyle, who are you going with?
Yeah, well, I was going to go with Devin Bush too, because I think that he, if he fits that role of coming down to stop the run, and he is just a sideline to sideline, you know, guardian, kind of like what we saw, obviously different players, but like the impact that Leighton Vander Esch had and how people just fell in love with him because nothing got by him. Devin Bush is kind of that player where he's extremely fast. And just brings an attitude. I'm a Michigan State fan, and so Devin Bush going out on the field before the Michigan State game and stomping on the logo, that's the kind of just attitude and pride that he's going to bring to your team and be a leader on that defense. So I was going to say Devin Bush, but I will double back with a guy like Christian Wilkins. Extremely high character guy, defensive lineman out of Clemson. Just one of those guys that I think has an extremely high floor. Is he going to be the guy that, you know, finishes with 10 plus sacks each year? No, it's not what he's going to do, but he's going to be an impact player, leader in your locker room, and just one of those guys that I think you can draft and feel really, really good about.
Tags is mad at you for saying that, by the way.
I'm not mad at you.
He wasn't going to say it, but I'll say it.
I'm not
him.
Mad at you. I just think he's overrated is all.
All right, guys, here's my player, Andre Dillard. I think he's the best offensive lineman in this class. I think he's going to be, in the long run, one of the best pass-blocking tackles in the NFL. I think he's going to help a team right from the get-go. I've got him going number 18 to the Vikings, and he's going to help them a ton if he does.
Nice. Can dig it.
All right, guys, that's all for today's show. Thanks to the sponsor of today's show, Pristine Auction, and make sure to sign up for that contest at fantasypros.com/contest. We're giving away a signed Davante Adams Packers helmet. And thanks to the guest of today's show, Kyle Yates. Kyle, we really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. For Mike Tagliere and Kyle Yates, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
Hey parents, looking for something fun to listen to in the car with your kids? Blippi and Mika have a brand new podcast, Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. Each week, the Blippi Mobile will take your kids to amazing places. Your kids will learn awesome new things about the places and things they see and hear. It's a fun, interactive listening experience for the whole family. Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge Podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.